welcome to the Bull Gap Journal. This is Robert Holmes, and we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. Joining me this morning in Radio Alabama studio is Coach Chris Smellie. Chris, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome you and your wife, Josie, and four children as y'all join the Sylacauga community. And you assume the position as the head coach for the Sylacauga High School Aggies, their football program.
Yeah, and we're excited about being here. We've been in town now, moved in officially for about 3 weeks, and so still got the process of all that going on.
Good deal.
But we're excited to be
here. Well, I think we're proud to have you in the community, so looking forward to some great things. Well,
thank you.
So, Chris, you know, I went back and did some research to find out who Chris Smellie was and is.
All right.
And I see that I'm going to call him you are a high-performance individual. Would that be... Don't be shy. Just, you know, a high performing individual.
I guess that's not a bad thing that I would want to be known as. You know, I definitely want to do my best in everything that I do, and I give my all to it. And got the Lord blessed me with a little bit of talent.
Well, it's good to have his help sometimes
and things like that. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm want to serve and do my best in every area that I'm called to.
Well, I couldn't help but see, in my former life, you know, I dealt with a community of very high performing operators and individuals, so I could see some traits there. So, in high school, you had national recognition as a player in high school and at the college level with several call outs from SEC, you know, the weekly call outs for distinctive accomplishments on the playing field, and you've got an impressive record as a coach, and we'll get into that in our second segment about coaching and the values that you bring to, you know, even beyond football, to life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're a Tuscaloosa native, born and raised in Alabama. Attended the American Christian Academy and won All-State recognition in both football as a quarterback and baseball as a catcher. And then later returned to the academy as their program as a coach. So at American Christian, you threw, correct me if the number's wrong, 134 touchdowns over your high school career.
It was a lot. And I started on the varsity team as an eighth grader. So, you know, we were a smaller school, and the schools continued to grow and gotten bigger and bigger. But, yeah, I was a 13-year-old eighth grader out there playing varsity football and, you know, threw a few touchdown passes and over the course of my career I had 134, which I think just got broken. You know, records are made to be broken. So sure. I think just had somebody break my record for all time touchdown passes.
Yeah, you know, it's always really if you really get to, you know, a life lesson, it's about who can come along behind and do better than you did.
That's right.
So you won this recognition, and in 2006, ESPN rated you nationally in a very select pool of what? How many high school athletes nationally? About a couple of hundred.
I think they do like the top 300,
okay,
or something like that.
Of young football prospects. So, your reflection, and you've already shared with it a little bit about, you know, playing those early years at American Christian. Anything you want to add there before we move on into your later years?
Yeah, as a high school athlete, I was very blessed to have a great high school football coach. Mm-hmm. Stephen Hooks was my high school football coach, and, you know, coached me for 5 or 6 years. And, you know, the thing about Coach Hooks is it wasn't really about the X's and O's. He wasn't always the best X's and O's coach, and he wouldn't mind me saying that. Yeah. But he was a tremendous motivator. And guys would run through a wall for him. And that was really dictated off just the relationship that he had with his players. And so that's something that I learned and really try to carry through with my coaching now, is trying to develop a relationship where it's not just about football. You know,
right.
We're taking our guys on a whitewater rafting trip and
for team building. Yeah,
for team building. You know, I think it's doing things outside of football where the guys know you care about them and love them. That's
right.
That's where you get, you know, guys that are willing
to. It is great to hear you say that, because you know, it is more than. I'm not going to dwell on my past, but, you know, in dealing with operators, you could find the one that was just so tactically and technically proficient.
Yeah.
But if it didn't have the right skills in life and humanity, it's I'll leave that there. So in 2006, you were rated nationally, and then We've reflected on that. In 2006, and that same year, you signed with the University of South Carolina and played as a starting quarterback under Steve Spurrier. And it, there was an impressive record of stats for a couple of years. And I've just got to ask this question. What was it like playing under Coach Steve Spurrier?
I get that question a lot.
I'm sure you know. I mean, he's such a high-profile
He
teacher.
Is. He is. You know, and at the time, I'll tell you, it was hard. It was difficult as a quarterback to play for Coach Spurrier. You know, he was kind of a perfectionist and wanted things done a certain way, especially with his quarterbacks. You know, I kind of felt like he saw all of his quarterbacks almost as just a reflection of himself. And when things didn't go exactly right, he wasn't happy about it. And so, you know, I got to actually be a part of some of those, you know, switch in every play and in and out right. every game type situations that Steve Spurrier was kind of known for. You know, my grandfather told me, because, you know, there were some trials and tribulations during that time, you know, where it was tough, you know, yeah. where there was times where I was like, gosh, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, what's the point? All that kind of stuff. And my granddad told me one time, he said, son, I grew up in the Navy and you're getting to grow up playing football for Coach Spurrier. He said, you keep your head up and keep working.
So stay tough.
Exactly. So, but you know, when you looking back, you know, I think that I really kind of just remember the good moments, more than any of the negatives, honestly, you know, and, so, you know, I kind of use that as motivation with my guys. It's like, man, you know, you're going to remember the highlights of the things that you're going to remember the fun times in the locker room. You're going to remember the experiences where it wasn't just about football, where, you know, and there's going to be ups and downs, and it's football's a tough sport.
That's good.
And so, you know, trying to make it to where it's not just about performance.
So in 2009, you came back to Alabama and continued college athletics at the University of Alabama, but with a switch, you were on the Tide's baseball team. Their roster is a catcher.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I ended up transferring back to Alabama, kind of transferring back home, and that was neat. You know, I don't know how many players have played, you know, two sports at two different schools in the SEC.
That may be a record.
Yeah, I know it. I don't really recall how often that's happened. But, you know, I went from being starting at quarterback and, you know, probably within about I had to sit out a year. So maybe a year and a half, something like that. I'm opening day of the 2010 season. I'm starting catcher for Alabama baseball team.
Yeah. What a change.
And it was a change. So I had to sit out my first year. I was told I wasn't going to have to by the NCAA, and then I had to. And so that was an interesting year too. I can remember this one time after the game, or the coach asked me to sweep up the dugout. And, you know, I was essentially like a red shirt. I was having to sit out and all that kind of stuff. And one of the guys walked by, one of my teammates, and he said, wow, this is kind of a big change for you. You go from starting in the SEC in football to sweeping the dugout after a baseball game.
But it's all good.
And I, you know, just kind of laughed it off. And, but yeah, you know, it was a tough transition too. Yeah. Wow. Going from not playing baseball for 3 years to being out there trying to catch pitchers throwing the ball 95 yeah. miles an hour. Yeah. There was definitely some growing pains there too.
Sure. Emotional changes with that in terms of, you know, the approach to,
yeah.
athletics and
yeah, I mean, you know, one thing that, you know, reflecting back that I really think about with my college career, and it's probably really something I didn't really pick up on until honestly the last couple of years, is I think that I in a lot of ways had to learn how to deal with failure in a new way. Which was something that I didn't really experience in my mm-hmm. younger years of being an athlete.
Right.
You know, I think back as a high school player, you know, being very accomplished on the football field. We won 3 state championships on the baseball field. You know, as a little league athlete, just kind of being, you know, one of the, right. always the best player on the team and never really having to face a lot of failure. And in some ways, you know, you get in college ranks and you're going to sure. face a lot of failure there. And so I think there were times where I didn't respond to that, in the best way emotionally, and really had to learn later on, that, you know, having an expectation of perfection is really not reality in life.
Absolutely right. I couldn't agree more.
And that, you know, we really got to learn, you know, that to not put our identity and our value and our worth in trying to be perfect. And, you know, one thing I realized too is like people don't really relate to perfection and trying to be perfect. People relate to you and your weaknesses and in areas right. that they can connect with you. And so I think relationally trying to, you know, either seek perfection or maintain a look of perfection, just isn't very healthy. Something I've, you know, really kind of learned the last couple of years.
Good deal. Well, this is an excellent conversation, and dealing with failure is something that I think that, you know, cannot be overemphasized with people, not to ask people to fail, but to just say, hey, it's going to be tough. And now you need to really yeah. dig deep and do it. So this is a perfect lead in. We're going to come back. We're talking to Chris Smelly, Sylacauga Aggies head football coach. And we're talked a little about his career as a player, both in football and baseball, at high school and at the University of South Carolina and the University of Alabama. So we're going to come back in the second segment. And we're going to talk about Chris on some of the things we've already talked about, the values of that you find in sports or in community activities and why they're so important. So come back and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. We're here with Chris Smelly, Sylacauga Aggies high school head football coach, and we've in the first segment talked about Chris's early years as a high school athlete in Alabama, and then going on to both the University of South Carolina and University of Alabama. But now we're going to focus on his coaching experience and the things that that Chris would offer to us about values and building, you know, strong organizations, football or communities, and why they're so important. So with over a decade of coaching experience, you began your career at Hillsborough High School in Hillcrest in Tuscaloosa, and then came back to your high school alma mater as the offensive coordinator in 2012, mm-hmm. a year later, or a little over a year later, being promoted to the head coaching position, and remained there for 7 years. Tuscaloosa News named you as Coach of the Year in 2015 and 2018. And most recently, you served as a quarterback's coach at a 7A high school here in Alabama at Hoover from 21 to 22. And I want to point this out because we're going to lead into something that I see as a recurring theme about the Chris Smelly brand, if you will. Okay. It says that you took over a 5-6 American Christian Academy football program in 2013, and by 2015, the Patriots, under your leadership, had a 10-2 record, okay, and a second-round playoff match. So in doing that, folks watched you and noticed that you came in and changed the culture of the team. So tell me about culture change. What is it?
Yeah, I think culture change is about trying to make guys realize that that they've got worth and they've got value outside of just their performance on the football field. You know, and a lot of times as coaches, you know, I think that we probably put too much emphasis into that, into the winning and losing, and into the X's and O's of trying to go get wins on Friday nights because we need our record to look a certain way to make sure that we keep our job and all that kind of stuff. And I think if you sort of just reverse all of that and you start with, you know, what is it that's going to help make our program be successful from the ground up instead of looking at that top-down approach, then in the long run, not only are your kids going to have a better experience, you know, you're also going to end up winning more football games that way. And, you know, so like for the programs that I put together and, you know, when I became a head coach the first time, I was I think 26 years old. So there was a lot that I didn't know and a lot that I had to develop and grow as a head coach. And but, you know, I just sort of went into it sort of guns a-blazing and, you know, probably didn't have as much negative that I brought into it just because I hadn't really seen a lot of negative. I was just kind of young and energetic and let's go get it, see what happens. And sort of developed my kind of way of philosophy of what's going to make a successful program and a successful team. And, you know, from a value standpoint, you know, you use the word values. You know, we have three overarching values for our program that we want to sort of define every decision and everything that we do as a program. And those are integrity, community, and excellence. Great. And if integrity, community, and excellence are defining every decision and everything that we do, then all that other stuff's going to take care of itself. You know, at American Christian, you know, our athletic director and our principal, really, you know, they would say, I really don't care if you go 0-10. If you're doing all the other things the right way, then that's really what we think is more important. And you know, not all programs and not all, and honestly, the head coach probably shouldn't hang around too long if you're not able to, you know, create an environment where you're also being able to win some football games. But if you're doing things with integrity, you're doing things the right way within your program, and you're doing things with excellence,
sure.
You know, and from a player standpoint, you know, excellence is not just on the football field, it's academically. And what are we doing to help our kids be successful in the classroom, and also in their character and in their, you know, relationally and in the community and all that kind of stuff. And so we want to be very intentional in how we push our guys and the things that we do with our guys in order to not just let that be words on a paper, but that it actually is
right.
What we're doing within our program. To try to develop the program that we want to have.
So that is so well said. So again, the core values you see are integrity, community, and excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Going to put that on the back of the helmets or the jerseys and everything.
Well, you know, it kind of works out too. It's ICE, so a little ice.
Good.
You know,
good.
Don't know where ice goes no, with that, but yeah, you know, that's stuff that, you know, we're in the process of kind of doing some things within our locker room. We also have core values within our players of what it means if I'm a player,
good.
If I'm a Silicon Valley player.
Personal values.
Yeah. Personal values of, you know, having a positive attitude and being a competitor and, you know, grit, mental and physical toughness and, you know, things like that. So, you know, having those things displayed where the guys can see them and, again, you don't want it just to be words on a paper. You want it to be how you're really playing things
then
out.
It begins then to be part of the life, part of the being of a player or
a person
in the community or a business person or military, those core values.
Right. Like our goal is to not just impact a player for the years that they're within our program, but they're carrying the things that they learned and the lessons they learned and what they went through and the experiences that they had to make them a better husband, a better father, a better employee one day.
So actually we've already gone into the next question that I had, which was, okay, how do we take this from the football field, the locker room, into life? And you've done that and a hearty slap on the back for doing that. I think that is so important. And I'm also glad to hear you talk about the importance of molding the individual athlete so that when they leave the playing field or leave your time in the locker room with them, that they've got mm-hmm. something else that they carry into life with them.
Yeah.
So you've already mentioned one role model or mentor that you had. It was your high school football coach. Is that mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And are there other folks that you look to as the leadership model, the role model, the mentor that makes a difference in your life?
You know, I think hopefully you know, a well-rounded individual has got, you know, multiple people that they can really take experiences from. And, you know, you take bits and pieces. And one thing I do know is that nobody's perfect and no one's probably going to be able to fit all of those molds. But, you know, I've had different pastors and even as a younger guy, you know, youth pastors and people that just invested, you know, their time and energy into me that I'm able to really draw from. And so, you know, it does take time. It takes sacrifice. It takes all that. It takes effort, you know, to really pour into somebody. And, you know, as a coach now, I've got to be very intentional about also, you know, doing that. And I'm married, I've got 4 kids, and, you know, you got a lot going on. And if I'm not careful, then I, you know, can get out of balance with any, you know, with my job as a coach, my job as a husband, as a dad. And so, you know, I think having some boundaries and a plan and a way that you're going to try to go execute the things that you want to do, work-wise and at home is important.
Good deal. So your wife's name's Josie.
Josie.
Yeah, and the kids are?
We've got 2 girls and 2 boys. Coleman and Mackenzie are the girls, and they're the oldest and the youngest, age 9 and 2. And then 6 and 7-year-old boys, Cannon and
good
Franklin.
Deal. Good deal. Yeah. Well, that's your most important coaching assignment in life. Oh,
100%.
Right there, so.
100%. Good on you, man. At the end of the day, that's most important. And if I'm not taking care of that, then yep. And I'm not doing my most important job.
Here, gotcha. Right? Gotcha. So Chris Melle, Sylacauga Aggies head football coach, joining us here in the studios of Radio Alabama. Thanks, Chris, for being here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And thank you for watching and listening in to the Bull Gap Journal.